Take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Our focus for this morning will be on Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 7. But we will read Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 to 7. This is the word of the Lord. From his mouth and to your ears and to your hearts, may he use it to make you like his son, Jesus Christ. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, how we do, Lord, come to you now to plead with you, Lord, that we might hear your word, hear your truth, hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and respond to you, Lord, with faith in these things. We ask, Lord, that you would, by your word and spirit, work in the realm of our hearts, calling us, Lord, to believe and to trust, to repent where needed, and to come to you and to draw near to you. For your word tells us that when we do, you will draw near to us. So we ask, Lord, that you would draw near to us now and work in our midst, writing your word, giving us understanding in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Like Enoch, Noah is another example of somebody who is more well known for something than what is the major thing that he should be known for. As I mentioned last week, Enoch is more well known for the fact that he was taken away and did not die than he is the reason for it, that he by faith walked with God. And so it is with Noah. Noah is another example for us of true faith given to us to follow. He is also known, more well known, for something minor than the major thing that God is seeking to teach us and to show us. He is so well known for his building an ark and filling it with animals, but not as well known for the reason that he did it. Books and Sunday school curriculum and vacation Bible school curriculum they are abounding with stories about boats and arks and animals and furry little creatures and things like that. But what is left out is the reason for the ark. Why was the ark being built? Why was it needed? And the answer to that is it was needed because God was going to destroy the whole of mankind through a flood. Every human being, every creeping thing, every beast that walks on the earth was going to be destroyed except for one man and his family. For them, he would save. He would save one family so that God could fulfill his purposes in his covenant and the promise of saving a people for himself through the seed of a woman. That promise had not yet been fulfilled, though it had been made. The promise of Genesis 3:15 had not yet been brought about to its full fruition. If God would have destroyed all mankind, then his promise would not have been a promise kept, but a promise, a lie. And so the Scripture tells us in Genesis 6 that in the midst of this wicked generation that we've already read about this morning, that one man found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that was Noah. Genesis chapter 6 tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this statement about God's grace towards Noah is right in the middle of the description of all man's wickedness and his heart being evil continually. This is what Genesis chapter 6 is about. How a holy God, who is offended by our sin, dealt with it. And he dealt with it through judgment, and he dealt with it through grace that he showed to Noah. And the fact that Noah received grace, what does that tell us about Noah? That Noah, though he was a just man and walked with God in all his generations, Noah was still a sinner, because it is only sinners who need God's grace. If Noah had been a sinless man, he would not have needed God's grace. He would have earned God's favor. He would have been worthy of it by his own merits. But the Scripture tells us that for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And this includes Noah. It includes Noah. But Noah did find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, which is the subject of the sermon this morning, tells us why. It is by faith that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. John Calvin stated, "It is evident that men have never been approved by God nor performed anything worthy of praise apart from faith." And that's why the book of Hebrews brings this chapter to all these Hebrew Christians in their day and to our day, that the only way that we can come to the Lord is by faith. It is by faith. So the Spirit of God continues to drive this point home to us by showing us several things about the faith of Noah. And we're going to look at three of them. First, the foundation of Noah's faith. Secondly, the fruit of his faith. And then thirdly, the inheritance of his faith. And what we're going to see that is true of Noah must also be true of us. Must also be true of us. And that's why the Spirit of God is presenting it here to these Hebrew Christians and to us today, to remind us that without faith it is impossible to please God, and to give us pictures of men who understood that and who came to God by faith. And so Noah is one of those people. So let's hold up the Word of God here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, as a mirror upon our lives. And let's look to see if we have this same true faith. And that true faith starts here in the first part of verse 7, where the Scripture tells us how God spoke to Noah. And that is the foundation of his faith, the Word of God. Verse 7, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen." He was warned by God. We saw that in Genesis chapter 6. He was given the reason to believe. And there is a reason or a foundation for everything that we do. Parents, you might often ask your children when they've done something that seems incredulously wrong or maybe not wise, you might ask them, "Why did you do that?" And a child may respond, "I don't know." And they may really not know why they did it, but there was a reason they did it, even if they cannot recognize it. And it's the same for adults. There are reasons or foundations for everything that we do. Our decisions are based on something that we know that we want or have or have experienced. And this was true for Noah. The reason, his foundation for what he is most well known for, building of that ark, his foundation was the very Word of God. Verse 7 says, "being divinely warned." God spoke to Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, he said to Noah, "This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I want you to do. And this is what I'm going to do for you." And so in Genesis chapter 6, God tells Noah and warned him that judgment was coming upon all men by means of a flood, which would destroy all men, beasts, cattle, creeping things, and birds of the air. Why? because man's wickedness was so great. And this warning was of things not yet seen. There had never been such a flood of water of destruction that killed all living things. There had never been such a judgment of God. Noah could look around at the earth and see that all its people and all its beasts and all its creeping things were operating just as they had been for generations. That's what he could see. What God was telling him to believe was something that he could not see. That this judgment of a flood and the destruction of all mankind was coming. And so in Genesis chapter 6, God begins to speak directly to Noah. And in that warning, he says to Noah several things by which Noah must believe and act upon. Because it's God's word. One is the destruction of all flesh by a flood. God said, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to wipe everything off the earth. Secondly, Noah was to make an ark of gopher wood to escape this judgment. Thirdly, God told him, I will establish my covenant with you. You must bring your wife and sons into the ark along with other animals and food supplies. These are the things that Noah had never experienced. These are the things that Noah had never seen done. These are the things that he was being told by God himself through God's very words that he must do. And he must do it in the midst of a wicked generation. He must live by faith. He must obey God's word by faith when the rest of the whole world was not. Just Noah. We do think it's hard at times to live the Christian life in this world, in our community. But one of the things we do have is other Christian brothers and sisters to walk with us and encourage us. We have the church. But here, imagine Noah, a man very isolated in his justness, in his walking with God. The rest of the world was walking in wickedness. and the rest of the world was going to be watching Noah as he came to God by faith, building this ark. And Noah was told to believe that coming in the future, that all these people, all these animals, all these birds and all creeping things would be wiped off the face of the earth. That's what he was told by God. And he was, these by any other means, if someone else told you that, would be incredibly unbelievable. Before they'd never been seen before. Nothing had ever been experienced like this. But this is what the Word of God, this is what God's Word was telling him. And verse 7 reminds us of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, where it tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 7 uses those words exactly. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, not yet seen. This was Noah's experience at this moment. Verse 3 points us to the foundation of faith that we've already looked at. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the Spirit of God is now taking verse 7 and say, let me give you an example of verses 1 and 3. This is what faith looks like, and this is what it's based on. This is what it's founded upon, the Word of God. For God has made declarations and promises that do require faith to believe in. But God doesn't necessarily make His promises thinking He has to prove to us that they will come true. He makes them and calls us to believe in them. He's not obligated to prove to man the truthfulness of His promises, though they do come true. As we look throughout the Old Testament, we see them coming true over and over again. And then in the New Testament, seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, who was promised in the Old Testament, that that promise had come true from Genesis chapter 3. And so faith is described in believing as having its foundation as the very Word of God, not our circumstances, not our experiences, not our feelings that come and go or up and down, But the Word of God is the foundation for faith. And this is where Noah built his foundation upon. And this is where we must build our foundation upon as well. For when everything around us says, that doesn't look true, when everything around us doesn't make sense and doesn't necessarily line up with God's Word, we must, by faith, receive God's Word over and above all other things. Today in our world, we are considered ignorant when we believe the God-given account of creation rather than some form of evolution. We are considered unscientific when we believe that Adam and Eve were our first parents. And we are considered fools for believing that God came to this earth in His Son, Jesus Christ, who took on the form of a man and a servant to the point of dying on a cross. We are considered foolish. We are considered supporters of child abuse. Because what kind of father would do that to his son? When we believe these kind of things, we are considered ignorant for building a life and a foundation of faith upon God's Word. But we need to be reminded, and that should be no surprise to us, that is not new, brothers and sisters. That is not new in your generation. This has been going on since the beginning of man. This has been going on ever since God started speaking to man and man started rejecting God's Word. Paul mentions this foolishness that we are considered to be in 1 Corinthians 1:18, saying, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And then in verse 21, he said, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message, and that message is the Lord Jesus Christ, preached to save those who believe." Imagine how foolish Noah looked while he was building the ark. But imagine how wise he looked when the floods came. When the judgment of God came. Imagine how wise he looked. Because by faith he believed God's Word. He heard the Word of God and by faith he believed it. And it was the foundation for all he would do. It was the reason that he, in a world full of wickedness, could move on to do what God called him to do. And the same must be true of us. We must believe by faith in all that God promises in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe by faith that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We must believe by faith that what Jesus Christ did on the cross satisfied God's wrath upon us. And God was pleased with Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And God received that sacrifice and receives all those who are in Christ Jesus. We must believe that by faith. For this is the promise that God has declared in His Word. We must believe that if we don't believe that, judgment will come upon us. We must believe that judgment is coming upon all men who do not believe that. That's another thing that we are considered ignorant or bigots or whatever other name you might want to call it, because we believe that God's salvation from His wrath and judgment is exclusively in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe that. How are you going to speak to somebody about Jesus if you're not going to warn them of the coming judgment of hell? How are you going to speak to somebody about Jesus if you do not believe that if they do not repent of their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and forgiveness, that they will experience the flood of God's wrath in hell forever? Now, some people want to say, well, we can believe in Jesus without believing in hell. But that's not biblical faith. Jesus came to rescue us from that very hell. that is reserved for the devil and his followers. Noah heard the word of God and believed it by faith, and so must God's people today. Because while the judgment upon all men is death, the gift of God in Jesus Christ is eternal life. We must believe those things by faith. God has spoken His word to us, and it should move us like it moved Noah. It should move us to faith, trusting God in His word, and it should move us to action, just as it did Noah. You see, true biblical faith in God's word will move you to something. And that's one of the evidences that we have faith, is that we are moved to act upon God's word. And that's what we see next in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, and the middle part of the verse, and we see the fruit of faith. Look at the middle part of the verse. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, here it is, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world. Noah's faith moved him to act upon it. There was fruit coming from that true faith. And when true faith is working in the heart of man by God's grace, his gift of grace, it will manifest itself. It will manifest itself. The faith that God gives to his people is not a faith that is alone. It's not a faith that is absent of fruit. And the fruit that is made manifest in Noah's life here is presented to us in three ways in the middle part of verse 7. First, by faith he was moved with fear. He had just received word from God of a terrifying judgment upon all mankind. And because our minds have been conditioned, so to speak, about these things that I talked about how Noah is and the ark are all looked at in a fuzzy, fun kind of way, we miss this. We miss that Noah was told the whole world is going to be wiped out because of sin. Can you imagine hearing such a judgment? The truth is, you have heard such a judgment, not only in Noah, but also for the world that remains now. They are going to be judged because of their sin. And anyone who is not in Christ will experience the judgment of God. Is that not a terrifying message? Or have we become so conditioned to it that we by faith, well, I wonder if that's really going to happen. Or lack of faith, I mean to say. Since it's been so long since Jesus came, over 2,000 years, I wonder if that's really going to happen. And if we wonder about that, if we do not believe God and His Word and that it should move us with fear to come to God, if we don't think that it's going to happen and move us to fear for others and take the message of the gospel to them, then we'll see those fruits in our life. We'll see that lack of action. And so Noah's fear was one of fearing judgment, of fearing God and His Word, if he also did not comply with it. You'll notice in Genesis chapter 6 that God said, here's what I'm going to do, and you must do this to avoid that judgment. You must build that ark. If Noah would have said, oh Lord, I believe you, I believe in the flood, but then he never went to build the ark, he would have been manifesting he didn't believe. But by building that ark, he gave evidence of true faith. If he had not built that ark, neither he nor his family would have been saved, but they would have been under the same judgment. And so he was moved to act with fear of judgment and fear of revering God. Because they go together. They go together. Do we not tell people, and hopefully we do, that to reject God's word and his warnings will lead them to judgment? That is part of the good news. The bad news leads us to the good news. If you only tell people that Jesus came as a holy person and the Son of God and died on the cross, but leave out the message about sin and judgment, that message is not good news. It's just a message. And so we have to tell people about God's judgment for man wickedly and violating His word and sinning against Him. That's the bad news they need to be made aware of so that they can come to know the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They go together. And so Noah was moved with fear to act upon the grace of God. God said to Noah, I will establish my covenant with you. Noah, I'm going to save you and your family. You must build this ark. If Noah didn't believe that flood was coming, he would not have built the ark. During that 120 years since God told him, 120 years, God said to Noah, a flood is coming. 120 years later, it came. What kind of faith did Noah have to have in God's word? But an enduring faith. One that kept on going and going to the very point when the rain started to come and the flood came and God closed up the door. Noah had faith because he feared God's judgment. Secondly, by faith, we see here that Noah prepared an ark for the saving of himself and his family. Genesis 6:22 tells us something very simple and but yet profound, that Noah did all that God had commanded him to do. The doing of Noah was manifestation of the faith of Noah in God. And you'll notice that in Genesis chapter 6, there is no mention of faith of Noah, just the things that he did. And so the Holy Spirit draws us to see that Noah's obedience was an act of faith. It wasn't just a mental ascension, okay, Lord, I believe you. But true faith actually works itself out in our lives, in manifesting itself through what we do. What we do is not what saves us. What we do is not what brings us to God. It is faith that brings us to God. But that kind of faith will not be silent. It will not be inactive. It will be a faith that takes God according to His word, believes that His judgment is coming, and also believes that there is a means that God is providing for salvation. And so by faith, Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. The Bible again tells us what God told him to do. He went out by faith and did it. And notice that Noah did not say, Lord, how ridiculous I'm going to look. How pitiful it will be to be building an ark, a big box, to float in water where there is no water. He was nowhere near water. But on dry land, he's to build this big wooden boat to float in water that they have not yet seen, that they're nowhere near. To build this boat, to keep on working, to keep on manifesting his faith, for 120 years, Noah prepared this ark to the saving of his house in the midst of a wicked generation. Can you imagine how ridiculous he looked? And it's true, at times we do also look ridiculous for believing what we believe. And people, like in Peter's day, will say, what's the sign of Jesus coming? It's been so long. Even in Peter's day, they're saying, you know, when's the Lord coming? He's not coming. You proclaim this message, you teach these things, but where is it? And so by faith, we are called to endure. We don't put a time limit on God's work. Noah did not say to the Lord, you know, Lord, if you could do this a lot quicker, it'd be a lot easier on me. But throughout his generation, he endured with faith and he built that ark in the midst of a wicked generation. We are looked at foolish for believing in something we cannot see. One of the young ladies at the college campus this past week walked by and said, you cannot even prove that God exists. God has already demonstrated that He exists. He has already made it known to all mankind that He is there. We are looked at as foolish for believing in things we cannot see, but that's what faith is. It is believing in things without that physical evidence. Noah's faith in God's word enabled him to perform this duty that God called him to. Noah did not do this on his own strength. He did not do it on his own merits. But God enabled him to perform this building of the ark because Noah believed God's word. He took action upon his faith. And we are called to that same kind of faith when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. We are called to trust in the blood of Christ, into the blood of this new covenant of Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. And you know, even if you were there on that day when Christ was crucified, even if you saw His shed blood, in order to access that salvation, you would still have to believe by faith that that shed blood was payment enough for your sins. It was not just seeing the blood. It was believing that God would use the blood to cleanse you of unrighteousness. We could look at Noah and we could say, yeah, he built the ark by faith. Then he had to get into the ark. He had to bring his family into the ark by faith. All these things he did, not because of any reason the Bible tells us here, except by faith. He believed that God would save him by faith. And so it is with us. We must have that same kind of faith, trusting in God's promise of salvation in Jesus Christ, trusting that the shed blood of Jesus Christ will actually cleanse us from our sin, trusting that God at the end of our life, if we have come to Him by faith, will take us to be with Him as He did Enoch and translate us and change us from corruptible to incorruptible, change us from mortal beings to immortal beings. By faith, we must believe these things. And it was so for Noah as well. This ark that God was providing for Noah was the means for him to be saved from the flood, the judgment of the flood. But we already know from the other previous verses in chapter 6 that Noah had already found grace in the eyes of the Lord by faith. By faith, he believed God's promise of judgment and salvation. By faith, he believed that if he built this ark, God would save him through it. By faith, he believed that those who did not repent of their sins would be judged and destroyed. And my friends, that is something that we by faith must believe. We must believe that those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be destroyed. If you do not believe that, that is not biblical faith. And it will not result in the proper action of biblical faith, of communicating that message to people, that warning to people. And that's what Noah did. The Bible tells us, thirdly here in this part of verse 7, that Noah prepared an ark which condemned the world. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 tells us, God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world on the ungodly. He was a preacher of righteousness. He proclaimed God's righteousness in a wicked and sinful generation. So you can see how the building of an ark of this nature would be a strong message of judgment. Building the ark and preaching righteousness were all done by faith. Because he believed judgment was coming, he built the ark to be saved. Because he believed judgment was coming, he preached the righteousness of God to the people. The very building of that ark was a message of salvation. It was a message of salvation to some and a message of judgment to others, just as Christ is today. Paul speaks of this same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, talking about the message of Jesus Christ, saying, "Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life." By faith, Noah was enabled to believe in God's word, to take action upon it, and to preach righteousness, judgment, and grace. Had anyone else repented, there would have been room on that ark. Had anyone else turned away from their sin and sought to trust in God's righteousness, there would have been room on that ark and they would have received God's grace. They would have received the inheritance of righteousness, is what we see in the last part of verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world, that's the preaching, and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Noah became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Because of Noah's faith being founded upon God's word, the Lord gives Noah the gift of righteousness. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he needed pardon for his sins. He needed righteousness. And Noah, by faith, believed God's word of judgment and this covenant that he was establishing with him for his salvation. Through faith, he inherited righteousness. And we know what this means because the New Testament expounds upon it and makes it even more clear for us about this righteousness. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And then in verses 17 to 19, he says, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." The gift of righteousness is what you need. And you must believe that by faith. Because to believe that I need the righteousness of God upon my life is to believe I have no righteousness of my own. Is to believe that I am incapable of making myself presentable to God. Therefore, as the verse goes on, as through one man's offense, Adam, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life as opposed to condemnation. For by as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Noah inherited righteousness. It was not his. He was a just man. He was walking with God, seeking to walk in a way that pleased God, communion with God. But he was not righteous in the sense that he merited God's favor. Just as a child, some of you, and maybe some of you who are adults, have already had inheritance given to you when you inherit the property of a parent who has passed on. Just then, Noah inherits the property of God. And what is the property of God? But the righteousness of God. That's what Noah has inherited. God accounted his own righteousness to be applied to Noah. And as Romans chapter 5 says, so does he all who come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. By faith, righteousness is accounted to you. Romans 5:21 tells us, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. It is today as it was in the day of Noah. It is by faith that righteousness of God is applied to us. Faith in the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith that in us there is no good thing. We merit death, but Christ gives life. We merit God's judgment of flood, of hell forever. That's what we earn. That's what we deserve as sinners. But God in His grace shows mercy to us when we come to Him by faith, which is in and of itself a gift from Him as well. And there we access the righteousness of God by faith. That is what the Hebrew writer here is writing to the Hebrew Christians of his day. To those who were wavering and wondering, is this Christ that we've been following? Is He really the means of salvation? And the Holy Spirit is saying, yes. Just as Noah came to God by faith, so must we. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. You must have the righteousness of God, or you will suffer the flood of hell. And you have to inherit that. It has to be given to you. And it is given to you when you come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Noah inherited a gift because he was by faith a child of God. He inherited the gift that goes to all God's heirs. Romans 8, verses 16 to 17 tells us, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So how are you coming to God? Are you coming by faith? Are you coming by faith in His means of salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? Noah came to God by faith, and so must we if we are to escape the judgment of God and experience His grace. By faith, Noah believed the Word of God. He believed it by faith. By faith, he acted upon the Word of God. And by faith, he became an heir of God's righteousness. And so must we. That's why Noah is in here. That we may trust in the Lord and His Word. And trust in His means of salvation. And this is the example that the Holy Spirit puts before us to follow. To come to God by faith. That through Christ, you might receive the righteousness of God, which you must have. May God help you to do it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the clarity of it, for speaking to us, showing us, Lord, our needs for righteousness. Lord, help us not to seek anything else to enable us to be in your presence, to be saved from our sin. Accept your righteousness, which is found by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.